The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to another edition of the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley. I'm Brady Hull. To start this podcast, coach, some really big, exciting news. Because last week we were like talking about everybody that's leaving. Well, we got some big news here today.
Well, the first big news as I stared at the screen is we got waves.
We got waves. We got to watch for the waves.
Yes, yeah, so we know that this is actually recording, right?
If there's ever a time where the podcast doesn't go out, it's because we didn't have waves.
Yep.
That's the new rule.
So, yeah, I would assume big news, Big Egan, right? Big Egan Shields. So,
wow.
Yeah, the Bears are, Egan Shields is back. So, yeah.
He entered the portal, left the portal, came back to UNC.
Yeah, he really excited. He decided to come back. And, you know, we certainly did not want Egan to leave. He knew that. And, you know, it's just some of these things turn into a roller coaster. You know, you meet with these guys privately, like, hey, what do you want to do? And initially, I want to come back. And then, spring break and came back and hey, you know, I think I'm going to get in the portal and which is fine. I think the thing with all these guys is like, hey, especially with bigs is that with Egan coming back, we were done with bigs because Hunter Caldwell's coming back. He's going to be a really good player for us. And then we signed Drew Payne in the fall. We can only take three bigs. So, you know, when he kind of got first, like there's no gray. Like when he got in the portal, it's black and white. When he got in the portal, it's like, all right, this is one of the most important spots to fill. It's one of the hardest spots to fill. Really hard to find bigs you can find a big, but a big that can come in and be ready for a massive role like an Egan, that is hard to do. So it's like, look, the sooner we know you're in the portal, the sooner we can do what we need to do and start recruiting. And we even had a kid up on campus, a Division I transfer last Friday. And so, like, if that kid would have committed Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it would have been over. We met with Egan on Monday. He said, hey, can we meet? And it was the idea, like, I want to get out of the portal and come back. Egan was in that gym. We have all of our guys come and play. So it's not like any of this stuff secret with our guys. But we did have a Division I player that came in. I think the first day to visit players was, it was Friday. And so we had a kid in on Friday. And really, for Egan, when Coach Reed reached out to me Sunday night, Egan is his position player, and they're really close. And Coach Reed said, "Hey, Egan wants to meet with us tomorrow," and the idea of coming back, which was great, just like, hey, like he's going to have to make this decision sooner rather than later because there is a ticking time bomb here. That if this other player says he wants to join us, we don't have a spot.
Right.
And when you talk about guards and wings, yeah, like you can move things around and all that different stuff. When you talk about scholarships and positions at the five, and you only have one left because of Hunter and Drew Payne, like, there's no wishy-washy stuff here. Like, you're either in or out. So he came in. It was great. And, you know, he's not the first guy. He's probably the first guy to get out of the portal that we were able to bring back. But I do remember we had a player last year. I won't say his name, but we had a player last year that we didn't want to leave. He got in the portal. And Ibu Yamazaki came in on a similar idea for Bradford, right? So Ibu is a forward. Like, we got to get Ibu signed. And Ibu committed on his visit. And that player called that night and said, hey, would you take me back? Would you? I said, yeah, like, but we got to figure it out because Ibu's coming. Now, you know, positionally, does this make sense? But, yeah, we would love to have the conversation. And with that player, we talked to for about a week or two. And he ultimately decided to pivot back. He never got out of the portal. But he decided to say, I'm going to stay in the portal, which is totally fine. But it was easier with that situation because you can move forwards and wings. We know how to move those positions. But 6'10", 240-pound bigs,
yeah.
There's only so many spots, right? Especially with what you're – like with Egan. Like, Egan, we need you to be the guy next year, right? Like, that's what you've been working for 3 years. Brock was, and he's done. He's graduated. This is the vision. This is the role. So when he got in the portal with other players, all these post players, like, this is the role that we lost with Egan getting to the portal. This is the vision. So you can't have multiple guys taking that vision, right? So anyways – now super excited, man. Egan came back and it just was a huge relief because obviously, man, we put 3 years into developing. He's done a great job. He's really grown into a man.
Yeah.
You know, he's grown so much as a human being. And so like, this is the frustrating thing about anything with the portals that, you know, you get two or three solid years out of a player. And then all that work and that development, that growth, right, that maturity. And then sometimes you don't get to see the fruits of that because the player leaves, right, which is totally fine. But for Egan to see it through is a great thing, man. So we're super excited. We're able to take all those names off the board in the post position. We had another player. We had a Pac-12 transfer supposed to be here Sunday that was flying in. Good player. We had to take all those names off the board. We put a big check mark on the board, put Egan's card back up on the board. And then had to let those players know because there was about six or seven players, maybe eight players that we were recruiting in that post position rapidly. I mean, by the minute, by the day, that we could kind of cut cords with those guys, say, hey, look, things changed. Our guy came back. We don't have a spot anymore. And so it really helps out. It's a big piece.
Take me through this process, Coach. And again, you know, I'll ask, but obviously I know these conversations are intimate. You know, they're secret. You don't want to get too much out there. But so he enters the portal. You know, we've talked about this before. Maybe he's getting different information from other people, or maybe you just get that FOMO thing, like, well, what's out there, you know?
Yeah.
And then after some time, it's like, you know what? I had a pretty good thing going here with the UNC Bears. What was that? Can you talk to us a little bit about the conversation?
I think it's just exactly what it was. I don't know what other places he was looking at. He didn't visit anywhere else. But, you know, again, as you go through, like, last Friday, we're on Thursday, so, like, 6 days ago, 7 days ago was the first day people could visit camp. We've only had two players on campus for visits yet, but a lot of places have had 9, 10. Like, they're just pumping. You know, you see this stuff on Twitter. Like,
yeah.
So here's the thing. It's crazy too, Brady's. Some players, many players, are committing and signing without even a visit. Like, yep, feels good. Let's do the Zoom. Okay, boom, sign. Some of that turns into the, like, in these big places, right? You see all the power force of some of the stuff just turns into the money for those guys. Okay, here's my going rate. Here's the price. Here's how this will work. Okay, it sounds good. We know you have a good program. Boom, I'm signed. I don't need a visit. That is legitimately happening in some places.
Wow.
We still want to bring players in on visits, but we have to be very methodical about it too. Zoom one, which is more like the virtual breaking bread, just get to know each other. We don't show a bunch of graphics and slides. Then typically we get to Zoom two, which now it is the presentation. We have eight categories we go through. Academics, development, winning, distance from home, which there's no slide for that. Just like how important is that to you or not? I'm going to forget some of these facilities, the finances, what you call NIL, but also like the stipends, all the different ways, you know, that what's the money going to look like? I'm trying to think what else here, but there's eight of them and we go through all those on Zoom too. If we get to that, and that gets a lot more thorough, the entire staff's on that, takes more time. So again, we got to be smart on that too, but then we get to the campus visit. Well, in this crazy portal stuff, a lot of guys just get to the, hey man, let's get to the visit, or let's not even do the visit. Let's skip all that and just sign and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are extremely fluid. So go back to Egan, like, I don't know what other schools were recruiting him. I don't know with his agency. Like, we didn't dabble in that at all. We just assumed he was gone. So
yeah.
You're gone, you're in the portal, we gotta go get some guys. So credit to Egan to reach out and say, hey man, I'm having some second thoughts and I do have a good things. And so we were super excited that he crossed that bridge and was like, I want to talk. Can we get this done? Let's get it done.
Was this like a text to you, out of nowhere, a text to you?
You know, it started with Coach Reed on Sunday. And again, having a player enter Friday. And Egan knew, like, the deal was like, we only have one position. And, you know, if he was gone on Friday to visit, that's fine too, right? Like, we got guys in the portal that visiting places. This is just what it is. But he was around. He played. Brock played. All of our guys play. We want all of our guys to still feel like a piece of this. But it started with just Sunday night. Coach Reed said, hey, you got a couple minutes? Yeah, what's up? He said, yeah, Egan wants to meet and tomorrow with us and with the possibility of you know, rejoining us.
Mm.
I was like, we got the spot. We love the kid. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was all good. It was all positive. It was unique for us. We haven't had that situation before. We haven't had a ton of kids that go to the portal that we're hoping to bring back, right? But we've had some, obviously, whether it's, you know, Langston, Dalton, St., you know, DeJure Reeves, guys that, like, once they usually get in the portal, because they're really good players.
Sure.
They're going to be in the portal. And so, it was just a really mature, like, I think it was a really mature decision for Egan, to be completely honest, because going back to the vision of him is, we told him, like, hey, you go to portal, you can make way more money somewhere else. Like, we just don't have it like that. Everyone knows that, but nobody can present the vision of what your role is, because even if they don't have a big guy back and you feel like you could go in there and be the starter, even if it's that, you have 3 years of knowledge of how we play here. Right.
Right. Yeah.
No one else, like wherever you go, you're going to be on day one, wherever it is. So like, yeah, like the vision, the role, like that, even if they could match us and saying, hey, we believe you need to be the guy and starting this and that, which is the way we see it too. Even if it's that, you have 3 years of institutional knowledge of how we run and how we do things, and no one can match that because you're going to be a new guy. So yeah, we're just really super excited. It was a great start to this thing. And you know, obviously we signed an Australian kid, which that'll be public here soon, but we can talk about it. But getting Ian back, now we're at, let's do the math to this, Brady, 6 for sure returners because you got Delano. And again, this could change. The portal's open until next Tuesday, but these guys are in. Delano, Arik, now Ian, 3 of our 4 guys that could come back that helped us win those games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Ring's still in the portal, but Delano, Arik, Ian, Tanner Burkita, who got some valuable minutes. Hunter Caldwell, who got some valuable minutes. That's 5. And then a really good player that we registered, Steven Ramirez, is going to be a good player. That's 6. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Walker Asp. Walker's in the portal with the opportunity to come back. He's evaluating some different options, you know, in the RMAC and some junior college stuff. And so we're excited for him if he wants to go that route. But we hope he comes back. But 6 guys for sure. Then Jeremiah Hammond and Drew Payne gets us to 8. We're only carrying 14. And now we've signed Campbell Blogg. So Campbell's a really good Australian guard. We're super excited. He officially signed last night, so we got the compliance notification that we can talk about him. The articles and stuff will probably drop by the time we post this today. We'll do the article first, then we'll do some video, you know, tomorrow, the day after that, just kind of sprinkle the stuff in. But really good player for Melbourne. You know, we call it Melbourne.
Wasn't it spelled like Melbourne
So we think it's Melbourne. It's Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne, Australia. And a super mature, older. It'll say he's a freshman, but he's 22 years old. So a guy that's going to be able to come in here and impact it right away. You know, I mean, he got a chance to be really, really good. I mean, his NBL1 stuff, watching film of him going against Mason Peatling, who was the Big Sky Player of the Year at Eastern Washington years ago. Austin Rapp, who was the West Coast Conference Freshman of the Year at Portland, it was at Wisconsin. You're watching him play against those guys and be really good. We're like, this guy's got a chance to be really good. And he's just skilled, can really shoot it, can get a bucket. We need some guys like that. So that gets us to 9. If the Walker thing shakes out, great. 10. So we're rolling, man. Like, we only need to get to 14. And we've had some more visits this week. I mean, I'd like to think that when we do this podcast next Thursday, I hope we're at like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be at 14, but 11 or 12, that'd be a great spot to be in.
Talk to me a little more about Campbell Blogg.
Yeah.
So when I hear Australia, and I know Jaron Rilley's story was different, obviously Australian, but then played over in America for a long time. So he doesn't, unfortunately for me, he didn't have the Australian accent, Coach, because I was really hoping for that because he was here a long enough time for that to go away.
He could probably pull it back in. He probably has it now now that he's down there.
A little bit there. But obviously I think of that and I think of how good of a point guard he was for you guys. Is Campbell Blogg, now 6'4 guard,
I'm
guessing that's more of like a 2 guard
situation.
Yeah,
if you want to put a number on it, you know, you go back through, we're 2 for 2 on Australians that have been good here. The other one was Riley Abercrombie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We forget about Riley.
Yeah.
Now, Riley was a portal guy too, right, from Rice, and so wasn't straight from Australia. But it's funny, like, and I didn't notice at the time, but the first Zoom with Campbell, who we got connected to through Jaron, but more so John, really, you know, Jaron's dad.
Yeah.
He put us on Campbell. And John is the head coach of the Perth Wildcats in the NBL, highest league in Australia, maybe the second or third highest league in the world. And John called me, and Jaron had such a good experience here, and we're all close. And, you know, Coach really, John said, hey, what do you need? I said, we need guys. We need some players. We need some adults. What do you got?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, it's funny. He's like, the thing is, like, with Jaron had such a successful first year at Perth because Jaron plays for his dad. He didn't need to. He could have gone to Europe, all over the place. It's not like this is not a nepotism thing. Jaron really went to Perth because that was the best fit for him. And Jaron really, they thought he'd just be a kind of like a DP, which is kind of what Campbell is. It's called like a developmental player, play in the G League, do this, that, whatever over there. Well, Jaron started real games for the Perth Wildcats this year as a rookie, which is unheard of. So Jaron is a successful, well-known name in Australia. That has allowed the Northern Colorado Bears, like, where did he play at? UNC. So John's like, hey, I think I can get you involved in some really good guys that want to come over, you know. What's the money? The money's not great. And some of these guys are making crazy money. He's like, but let me kind of, you know, see what we can do. And one of the names he came up with was Campbell Blogg. And we talked to Campbell. The first time we talked to him was actually with his agent. great dude. His agent had just brought on Riley Abercrombie. I didn't even know it. So Riley is represented by the same agency.
No kidding.
And so, it's, you know, this thing is kind of connected. But, I mean, the Campbell thing was very thorough. I mean, I've talked to Campbell more than any recruit price so far. We went through all the – we didn't bring him on a visit. We did not have the time or money to bring him out here for the Australian visit. But – the Zooms, the presentations, the talking to his parents, great people. He's an adult. And so before you like, what is he as a player? He's an adult. He is a guy that has a professional mindset, right? So as a player, I mean, if you had to put a number on a two, I think he's big enough. If you had to play a three, because he might be closer to 6'5", but 6'4".
But a guy you can move around.
Same point in time. Was he playing some point, you know, with the with his NBL one team? Yeah, get the ball, come up. Like I look at it, like he could have the ball in his hand, out of his hand, deep range, can really shoot it, wants to shoot it, but can get to the rim. Guys run him off the line, you know, drive on you, dunk on you. Like when you see the clips, this kid looks pretty good. And so we're really excited because he fills some needs. We've lost a ton of scoring, right? Top four leading scorers graduated with Quinn, Zach, Ibu, and Brock. So we need some scoring. And so that it solves some of that. And it just kind of solidifies our bigger guard spot, like our 2-3. It just really helps that out.
Refresh my memory, too. With John, really, the connection started with Jeff Linder and John, right? Was it at Boise State?
Yeah.
The connection started there?
Yeah, well, we all run the same circles.
And you,
like Jeff Linder and John really – coached together at Boise State. Then John left to be the associate coach at UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
That's where Jaron grew up a little bit more. He grew up in both those places, but in Santa Barbara. And his little sister went to high school in Santa Barbara, right? So like, but John, I've known John for years and years. And yeah, he worked with Jeff Linder. And so we all kind of run in the same packs. And so, and he's just a tremendous human being. Yeah, getting Jaron years ago, like we didn't know if we could get him when he left Sanford. That was going to be really hard to get him. But part of that was too is that his dad trusted us and he saw the vision of how we were going to play him and that worked out really well. And so I do think we have supreme confidence and faith from their family. Like, hey, like I know that Campbell's parents talked to John really.
Yeah.
Without us asking to do it. And they're like, man, John has nothing but good things to say about how it went for Jaron. Cause it did go good for Jaron. So like the way that we recruit is regional and relational.
Yep.
Regional, in-state, then the regional in the sense like Coach Klope, he does the Phoenix stuff. Reed does the Texas stuff. DG does the Midwest stuff, kind of built on a Kansas City, Lawrence, Wichita. That's how Dondrell, he does the Cali stuff. Those are our regions. Those are the ponds that we fish in. And then relational. Most of our roster, if you go through it, it's based off of some connection to some connection to some connection.
And I love
that's
this.
That's how
too.
It works.
Well, it's like
us.
When we were talking about Yamazaki, there was a connection there. It wasn't just like, hey, you're reaching out there into the Japan area.
Like, we don't have any, like, it's a connection. Yeah,
there's connections there where you knew coaches that you've gone against or, you've coached against whatever. And you've kept those relationships going where it's like, hey, it doesn't make sense for me to have this guy or know this guy or whatever, but hey, I know a great coach who I have a good relationship.
Yep.
That would make sense.
That's right.
It's a lot of work. And it's a lot of things that maybe at the time when you're meeting a certain person or after a random game, a non-conference game, you just kind of hit it off quickly with a coach for whatever reason.
Yep.
And then suddenly you got that other connection.
Yeah. Just styles of play too. Like, so the Ibu thing, you know, the Radford coach, who I didn't know as well, but Coach Reed knew. He reached out to Coach Reed on Ibu because we played those guys in Cancun in the Cancun Championship like 2 or 3 years earlier. And he was like, hey, look, Ibu's in the portal. They had left to take, I think, the LaSalle job. They're like, we think he's a great fit for what you – if you need a skilled four. And we're like, yeah, we need a skilled four. So I think that, like, people, you know the way we play and, you know, we've got a really great development record now, right? With guys that have moved on and played in the pros and it's just been very good. So that's helped us in recruiting because we're not winning the wars on money. We just lose a ton of kids to money. We just do. We're right there at the end. It's like, okay, here's my range. And it's like, we don't have anywhere near that. But if the range is right and we can kind of get the money to work, we got a chance. But we're not getting kids based off of paying the highest amount. That never happens here. I've never seen that here. But then two, we're not getting kids because we have the greatest arena, right? Like, we all know it. I love our arena. Holds 3,000. It's the perfect size. But if you're coming here to say, I want to be in the glitziest, glamorous arena, you have 8 choices, it's probably not going to be here. but it's about the relationships, about how we develop, about how we, you know, see you in the system. And then that's what we're trying to sell, right? And so it's been really good for us, but we've got a lot of work to do still.
I'm taking a stab at an idea of what that starting lineup. I know it's April, Coach, but I like to get into this. Is this just like
this is a stab?
Vincent Delano at point guard, right?
could be, for sure.
Could be. Now I'm just reading between the lines here. I'm thinking Campbell Blogg might be at three instead of two. I'm just throwing it out there. Arik Muyen at two?
Arik, Steven's done a great job. I'm just telling you, like, Steven's going to be really good. Arik's done a
great
job.
So high on this guy.
So, like, yeah, look at those guys, and, like, what we really want to find is guys that can play multiple positions, if possible, because then we can move things around and shift things around. The only spots, like, go back to Egan. Egan's a five. Egan's not a three. We all know that, right? But then it's like, with Egan and Brock this year, we never really dabbled in this two big lineup, and we played that more this year than we've ever had. So we've kind of learned for us how to unlock that in our system. So when we get, I love the, you know,
well,
the projections. But it's like,
yeah,
who knows who the next guy is that comes back or comes in or
right.
whatever signs or whatever it is. So there's just a lot of moving parts.
Well, that's where I'm having trouble is at four. Who's at four?
We
at that four spot?
No, okay.
So that's, I'm going to
put a big old question mark.
Put a question mark right there.
That's the next phase.
Yeah. Well,
and that's where the work is like, the visits, the guys coming in, the guys that have been here, like, there's a lot of work to do.
Well, like, as I look at this,
it is a mystery.
And follow your team, you know, I was like, okay, well, that guy's gone, and who's going to jump in?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw a lot. Vincent Delano, I thought, who was the team you guys played early in the non-conference that blitzed the heck out of you and when you lost, or full court pressed the heck out of you, and then you lost Quinn Danker in that game, I believe.
South Dakota.
And that was the game where I was like,
yeah.
Delano is fully capable of handling the rock against
Texas
a really
Tech,
tough defense.
You know, he started against Texas Tech because Quinn was out as well, and Vince had a great game. And Vince has had a great spring. He has taken on this leadership thing. It's just that natural progression. He's hosting the majority. He's like the student host for the majority of these visits. Yeah, he just understands it now. He gets it. He's always been a great fit. But like when you get a year in it, you just take that natural progression. So, and he's had a great spring in the way. He's bigger, he's stronger. He's going to be a great player for us.
Oh, this is exciting. Great news with the Egan Shields. And then again,
yeah.
you had kind of hinted at, you know, big names we could talk about coming up in the next podcast. So,
we have four spots left.
Yeah.
And we're hoping we have like we are not recruiting just, so people know, like, we're not recruiting more younger guys. We have good young players. We are recruiting, to the best of our ability, adults, vets, maturity, 22 years old, 20 years old, 21 years old. And that's like, it's gone well. Like, we got to get them signed and committed to talk about them, right? But we want to make sure that we have the appropriate age of our team, as always, that we're old, and these young guys come in and they find their way through it. But I feel like we're in the Egan thing's huge because you're chasing all these guys at every position. Now that you got your five signed, you take all those guys. We're shotgun. We're just the shotgun. The little BBs, the pellets are all over the place. Eventually, it's got to get into a laser. And the quicker you get to the laser, or you focus on that last, like I said, the four, one more guard, whatever it is. When you get to the laser, you can do a better job. Like we're just stretched thin everywhere because everyone is. But the sooner you get players to commit and sign, yes, that helps. But it helps with the next guy because you're just so much more focused on that next spot, and that next spot, the next spot.
Yeah. Well, this was big news. And again, last week it wasn't like a somber tone.
No.
It was more of a, this is part of it. This is the nature of this beast now. We expect, you know, we're going to lose guys.
Yep.
But we thought, because we were kind of thinking maybe Ringneary was going to enter that portal. Egan Shields was kind of the shocker to me.
Yeah.
And then today here on the 16th day of April, shocker that he left the portal and he's returning.
He's the first guy that I can think of that's a real guy that's going the portal, can legitimately make way more money and go to a higher perceived level. For sure. There's like, Egan's a really good player. For him to come back, what a cool thing. And so, yeah, like that was a great piece of news. And then getting Campbell Blogg signed. And now we've tipped the scales. So now, like, when we talked, we were like, okay, set, like five plus the two young guys, seven. We're halfway there. Now we're at least nine. At least nine. So now we've tilted the scales. We are on the downhill stretch. A lot of work to do. but it's starting to crystallize a little bit more.
When you get that, what do you four more spots? When you get that fourth, I mean, do you take a little break?
It's a sigh
of relief.
Yeah.
Maybe pop a bottle of champagne or something after the fact.
And the thing is, like, what this happens. This is where this is so similar to junior college. You get to junior college, and like you have like, I don't know, everyone's got different spots, but like usually like we would have like, I don't know, 15 spots in JUCO. It's the same thing. And you, same thing, you're going through the spreadsheet. There's no NIL, but still the spreadsheet and all this different stuff and how to build this all up. It's the exact same thing. You get to like the last spot in junior college. You might be trying to sign that guy in like July or even early August, like 2 weeks before. And what happens is fatigue makes cowards of us all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to get it done because you want to celebrate and pop the bottle of champagne. The key for us is remembering that there is a rush, but we can't make mistakes, right? Because once you sign the player, if the player is the wrong player, you only sign the player because you're just tired of this stuff. You're just worn out. That player going to be here in for the next year. If it's a bad fit, it's a bad decision. So, like, you've got it. There's an urgency. And I think this is a great quote for our team. We always used to, we are urgent, but we're not panicked. There's an urgency in the air, but there's no panic. Like, we just got to keep getting the right guys so we get the right fits. And that's why ideally going through the process of the Zoom 1 to the Zoom 2 to bring guys on camps, got to understand what they are, got to feel their presence, got to see how they interact with the team. You know, getting them in the gym, like all this stuff matters because you can't make mistakes. You just can't. So we are urgent, but we're not panicked. But yeah, when it all gets done, like I said, I don't think it's going to be done in a week, but 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it'd be great, right? Then we can sit back and say, okay, now let's get these guys, because then once they get signed, we have to matriculate these guys to be here June 1st, summer school, camp, like all it. So this is why the coaches that are just burnt out of this stuff, that are 68 years old, have made $19 million. They get it. It's just so much stuff.
You gotta. I can tell. I mean, every time I talk to you, I know you're still so passionate about this job. Because doing this podcast with you year round.
Yeah.
There's different times throughout the season where we're real excited about a game, a matchup,
yes.
Film study.
That's right.
And then there's this time where I can sense that excitement about, you know, filling that board up and, you know, building your team. And you just haven't lost any of that. Like you talk about some of these coaches that are just like, oh, this guy entered the portal. So now it's like double the work. I was planning to replace these guys, but now, I can still tell, like, it's tough, but you're still passionate about it.
We actually talk about this, like, I don't know what the pie chart is. On the low, and maybe it's like 25% fun and 75%, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But there's always that element of, okay, we're building this thing up. We got this guy. Now we get this guy. This guy's growing up in-house. Like, you always forget about the guys in-house. Like, you know, Arik, man, like, if Arik can put 10 to 15 pounds of just straight muscle because he's so athletic and, man, what could he become, right? Like, you go through these guys. Ramirez redshirted because he was a freshman this year, but like, man, he's a good player. So like, there's always that excitement of the next year's team, but there's just so much work that gets dumped into this. There's so many false leads you're chasing. It's like a detective, right? There's some like, I don't know, homicide case and you're chasing all these leads and oh, that lead went dead. That lead went cold. That's what this is. You're zooming all these guys and talk to these guys and fall. And a lot of it just goes dead because they go to a different place or they're not the right fit or the money doesn't work or whatever it is. But it's like Shawshank.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when he got out, you gotta crawl through the river of, I'll just say, poop.
Oh yeah.
Gotta crawl through the river of poop to come out clean on the other side. You just do. Like it's just really hard. But there's an element of like, this is, like the tantalizing possibilities. If we look at the board, what if we got this guy, man, we could be really good. We haven't got those guys yet, but like, what if we do?
How difficult is it though? You know, when we talk about the money aspect of it now, man.
Because you've got
all these plans, and it's like we still have to insert money.
Yeah, the way that we believe in it, sell it, develop it, recruit it, we feel like we could get 9 out of 10 guys if we had the right money, but we don't. Like,
yeah.
And that's just people are stepping up, the fundraising, the rev sharing. It's great, but like, there are bigger. Like this is where the thing just kind of stretched. Like the big boys got millions, and then. The West Coast Conference. I mean, I've got a pretty good beat on what everyone has to some degree. West Coast Conference, you know, 1.5 million gets you right in the middle. Like in the middle of the West Coast Conference. The big dogs out there, 3-4 million. Whoa. So like when you're recruiting a kid and it's between you and some middle of the pack West Coast Conference, you're like, ultimately, they're probably offering him hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's where, like, try to get to the agents that you know and will tell you the truth, or the high school coach that says, yeah, like, this is my guy, and he just got this offer from the school. You're like, whoa, we have no chance. We got to bet. Like, that's where it turns into just a cold case. Shut it down. It's just too much money.
Do you see, you know, you said, you know, boosters are stepping up. Do you see, like, potential growth in that area, in the NIL area?
Yeah, we've already grown it. What becomes problematic is that we have to raise funds, not just for the NIL stuff, but again, to operate like a legitimate mid-major division program. We still need help in that world. That goes back to the funding and all. I mean, our donors are phenomenal. I mean, they are the lifeblood of what's kept this thing going. But as we are still trying to grow the enrollment at the school, and you see all the budget disasters, and, you know, hey, there's this $14 million cut. That's all real.
Yeah.
This is all part of it. And it does trickle down, so that we've got to be so conscientious of being good stewards. And we're cutting. We're cutting fast. We carried 16 guys this year. We're carrying 14 next year. This is part of what it is. I'd like to carry 48 guys. So I have 48 bolts in the gun. But the budget, we've got to be smart on that end too. So you've got the pull of the money to pay players, but you got the pull of the money to run this thing the right way. And you've got to find that middle ground, right? And so, yeah, you just know, like, you kind of know where you're at in the grand scheme of things financially. And it's just by accumulating data from fellow coaches. And that's where, like, these relationships come to play. It's like, well, you know, he's talking to you guys and, you know, he's talking to Wyoming. Boom. Call it, hey, Sonny, like, how deep are you in with this guy? And what do you offer him?
Yeah.
Like, we can't do what those guys do. So, like, this is like, and it goes into, like, not just the cold case homicides. It's like, this is espionage. This is like, you know, tradecraft. This is like, you know, have you seen the movie Red Sparrow?
I have not seen it.
Oh, it's great. It's about these, like, Russian spies and CIA. Really good movie. Well, it was a trilogy. I'm actually in the second book of it. I went back through and I'm reading the second book of it. So it's just tradecraft. So, like, all you're doing is gathering as much data and knowledge as you can. That's what this is. It's like, what's real, what's not, what's fake, what's smoke. The kid, you know, the age is out of kids' range. This, and you're like, whoa, that didn't sound right. Mm. But then you got to figure out if they're right. If they're right, you got to bail because you can't pay that. But they might be just throwing smoke out there, trying to make as much money for the kids they can. But that's their job.
Yeah.
So then you got to get back through, and, like, this whole world of college basketball is connected at this time of the year. Like, it's just firing everywhere because it's like somebody knows the truth. And you got to get to that somebody to figure out, is this real or not? Because you can't waste time chasing guys you can't afford to pay.
Do you have good relationships with these agents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Some of you guys are great to work with. I mean, all of our guys got agents. So working with those guys and on their scholarship stuff, their cost of attendance, their rev share contracts, absolutely. These guys want representation. Even guys coming back. They pretty much every player has an agent now. Okay. Not all of them, but, like, we had a Zoom with a kid the other day. He had no agent. And I told the kid, I said, hey, man, this is so refreshing. Guy's 22 years old. He's got 1 year left. He's engaged. He's going to be married in 3 weeks. I'm like, this is so refreshing to talk to an adult. But, yeah, like, Madden Smiley, he has no agent. It's me. But I know how this thing goes. So, like, when he gets his contracts from you know, the Pokes, I can go through it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can say, hey, look, dude, I'm not charging you a fee, young Madden. But can you go buy me a Pazookie or something? Can we get a Pazookie? Can I get – or just clean your room. Can you just please clean your room? So, like – but that's the thing is, like, yeah. And it's refreshing for the coaches to not always have to deal with that. But that is part of the deal. And I'll tell you what. Like, I have an agent. So it's like, I get it. And there's contracts and there's money and rev share and all this different stuff on these kids for these spreadsheets. This goes to your scholarship. This goes to your rev. It gets confusing. And it can get diluted on the players in too. If we are so transparent with these kids, and the agents love it, but sometimes, you know, the coach will say to the kid, I'll give you $400,000. I'll give you a number that's nowhere near what we can do. And the kid says, great. Well, what does that actually mean? Is that in the rev? Is that like, so like the agents are important for the kids. So. But are there people we like to work with and people we don't like to work with? Absolutely.
That's a unique dynamic too. You mentioned it, kind of working on Madden's side of things.
Oh, yeah.
But also you're on the other end of it as a basketball coach. So you get a really unique perspective on both sides.
Absolutely.
Are you busting Sundance Wicks a little bit, you know, on that contract?
No, man. That's the thing is, like, what they love about it too is, like, when they brought him on a visit and he committed and said, this is what we do for you. It's great.
Yeah.
And then when the contract came, it was the exact same thing. And it's like, that's why you go with people you trust.
How weird is this, though, for you to look at this with your son compared to where you were when you played basketball?
No, I wasn't a D1 money guy. I was an academic presidential scholarship guy at Northern State, you know. So it was totally different, but it is like things are so different now. Like, you know, Don Meyer, when we worked camps up there, I think we got like $1,000 or something. And it sounds great, even like in today's terms. Brady, we worked camp for like five. We did the men's camps, the women's camps, the kids' camps, the team camps. When you did the math on it, it was like, you know, $2.28 an hour because we had to stay in the dorms with the kids. So it was like, it was criminal. But like, so that was how we made money. We worked camps all summer up there. We got to lift and do this stuff because that's all you could do in D2. Be there, work camps, and there was no practice or anything. So it is totally different. But again, you're just going with the times and you're learning how to do it and you're learning what's important. It's funny. 3 years ago, we had no money. A couple years ago, it was this kind of collective deal. We've gotten out of that business because now we've rolled it in-house. It's just, this is in 10 years, no matter whether you're the Bears or you're Duke or you're the Rams or you're the Buffs. It doesn't matter. Or you're in the RMAC. In 10 years, there will be a Harvard case study on the disruption of all this. It's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
This is AI. I was telling the parents of this visit we had yesterday, the market disruption, this is the industrial revolution, right? Then it's like the computer, then it's the internet, then it's the cell phone, then it's AI. That's all it is. It's just so new. Like there's going to be winners and losers and it's just nothing's right or wrong. It just is what it is.
Well, and I tell you, it's to me as a radio guy, it's really entertaining.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
It's hard for me, but it's still fascinating.
It's just, and getting you opening up on these podcasts has just helped me understand a very small percentage of this, but just to kind of get an idea of what this looks like.
Yeah.
It is interesting, and I'll just be curious to see what this looks like 5 to 10 years down the road.
Well, like, you know, you see the big picture stuff, like the 20.5 million in-house rev share for the big schools, right? And that's a real thing, but like, how do you actually pay those guys above and beyond that? Well, a year ago, they front-loaded all those payments before the CSC thing became live. So, like, the day everyone got front-loaded. Well, now, NIL Go, you can only get a contract through if it's below $600. But then that changed to $2,500. Everything's changing. But it's like, how does AJ DeBanza? I think it's DeBan. We thought it was DeBan. I think it's DeBan. I heard it on a podcast. But regardless, how does the guy make $3 million or is it $8 million? Like, because there's third-party stuff that goes in this, too.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's funny, like, even talking to Coach Linder, and like, they got all the money in the world, the oil guys down there. But it's still hard because, like, they're competing against Florida, Michigan Tech, you know, everybody. Doesn't mean just because you got money, you get the players. It's just we're all having the same issues at different levels of this thing. It's just hard, man.
Yeah.
You get to the final end, and it's like, Where are we at?
Coach, I still don't fully understand it.
I don't either.
Because, you know, at the beginning, it was supposed to be like kid signs. Then makes, you know, the NIL stuff.
Name,
now it's like, here's money before you, just
well,
for
because,
signing.
But here's,
because of the,
because it's in-house.
Because it's in-house
now. You can sign a contract, and this is all real, a rev share contract. It's, your name, image, and likeness is going to be used by the Bears, by the Duke Blue Devils, whatever.
And we're essentially kind of paying for that.
And we're paying for that.
Right.
And we're paying for that, and we value your NIL in-house.
Mm-hmm.
At the school at this. And there's a lot of truth to that, too. You go back, you watch these guys doing the commercials for NCAA March. It's all real.
Yeah.
And then, like, you have the State Farm commercials with the Boozer brothers, right, the twins. Well, that's in addition to. But that is exactly what NIL is. They are on national TV doing – that's not fake.
Right.
State Farm looked at it and said, hey, Jake from State Farm, we think it's really good to hire the – and I'm sure it's wildly popular, right? So – there's a lot of this stuff that is getting legitimized too. But when you talk about how are these guys getting, it's because they're signing rev share contracts with the school agreeing to pay them whatever they're
and
paying them.
And that's the number we're seeing like
I think so.
Outward is like, hey, Billy Bob is getting $200,000 to go so and so. That's from the rev share. But that's
from the
not
school.
From the school. And that's not actually the amount. And that's where I think it's the gray area too, where there's also the wink, wink. Yeah, here's what we have for you. But there's also another $400,000 buy from NIL stuff
right.
that we can also promise you,
and,
right?
And where it's maybe it's wink wink, but maybe it's not because the agents are like, no, there's no more wink wink. The agents like, show me the paperwork.
Yeah.
And that's why the agents are good for the kids.
Which,
when you get to the real money, the agents say, no, like we're not like assuming we need this in writing.
Which I thought that portion of it was supposed to be not the rev share portion of it. But the other part of like, hey, there's also $500,000 in because boosters are going to be chipping into this pot. of NIL, and here's there's also going to be 500,000. And see, I thought that part of it was supposed to be, you can't really use that as an inducement.
Well, you can't. So like the booster, anybody can put into this 20 million rev share. It still could be in house. Above and beyond, like it doesn't matter where you get your money from in house,
yeah.
As long as you got money in house. Maybe
you can
it's from ticket
say
sales.
It's there, yeah.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's just how the school creates. But the external stuff, that's the NIL go stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where, yeah, you can still get, you can give a $4 billion Nike contract to some kid. It's got to go through what's called NIL go. Any contract above $600 has to go
and
through.
And they have to prove it to see if it's a legitimate NIL deal.
And we had four guys that did deals through that for us, not for the Bears, but for a different business in town, got approved. It was over $600. Wasn't like $600,000, but it was over $600. So we had to push it through. Compliance worked on it. It was great. It's a pain, but they got approved. And once they got approved, then those players get to work with that business. The business pays them. We have nothing to do with that. So yeah, it's all real.
Wow.
The hard thing is, like, how are these guys doing any wink? I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah.
Because, like, anything above and beyond, $600. Now it's, like, $2,500. They've adjusted that because it's, like, they're just getting flooded. It's, like, let's move this to $2,500. But the wink stuff, I don't know. How
and here's something I would imagine that's supposed to be – is probably a wink. Like, let's just take, for example – our situation. I do radio shows, and I work with these guys. We had the Brock Wisney show, the Jared Rilley show. If I, not talking to you, was like, man, I really want to make sure Egan Shields comes back here to UNC because I went to UNC and I'm...
Yeah, as a donor or something.
And I could reach out to Egan individually, right? And I could say, hey, man, I've got blank amount of money for you to come here if you stay. Technically, that's not right.
That would be like...
If it's
like,
me by myself.
Yeah, what donors would do is say, okay, just donate the money.
Put it into
the round ball. You get a tax write-off.
Yeah.
And then that can go to whatever account you want to go to. It goes to rev share. So like those mechanisms, because we never hit the 20 million.
Yeah.
I mean, Brady, we don't hit the hundreds of thousands. So like if donors want to put money in, they can say, I want this to go to round ball. I want this. And this is good just for people listening. Like, because this is happening. People say, you know what? We want to give money to round ball. Great. We want to give money to, it's called our Student Athlete Excellence Fund. It just got created. It's SAEF. And it could go to Alston. It could go to RevShare, but helping these guys out. It could go to scholarship. So like, if you're like, hey, like Smiley, I really want to hold on to Egan. What can I personally do? Yeah. Just give a donation to the round ball. It's all legal. You get a tax write off. And then boom, that money can go to our round ball to help us go to Lisbon, Portugal. Or it can go to the, we have this account now, goes to that, and then boom, we just figured out that way. It's part of this rev share contract.
Can I direct it and say, I'm donating $200,000. I want half of that to go to Egan.
I'd love for you to donate $200,000. You want to do that as soon as we get done, man, I can just pay for it.
It's an IOU. Don't cash
that. Like that over here, but.
Don't cash that check tomorrow.
It's impressive.
Let me move some things around first.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're like, look, this is what we want to donate, but we want to go to this player. Absolutely.
You can. Okay. That's
but then the rev share contract goes in house. And so it's all legal. It's all part of what this whole thing goes to.
Throw that out while we're on the podcast. Where can people find more information about how to donate to the Bears and if they do want to do something?
It's still like our round ball link. I think it's like givetounc.com/roundball, something like that. But, or just like my email's on there. People that, pretty much everyone that listens knows me, email me. And then what happens is I get connected with our foundation people, which for the most part is Jenny Shoup, who does a great job of helping us with all these different things. And then, obviously compliance, if we need to go through that route too. And so we work on it. Where do you want this money to go to? What do you want it to be? And because there's a million ways to facilitate money, right? That helps the school, not just the players, but the school. That grind is back to you and I doing the Zooms, basketball.
Yeah,
banter.
Sure.
It's the same thing. That's still a huge piece of what we do. But now this new branch of the tree has been created. It's like, well, how do we approach this? And how do we rev share? And it's got these rev because we opted in. That goes back to, well, if you don't opt in, you can't do anything else. But we've opted in. So now people that are passionate about it could say, yeah, well, we want to donate. We want this to go to rev share. Great. Do you want it to go specifically to one person that you're – or what do you want to do? We've had businesses that will donate, and they want their business to get marketed in-house from UNC, but now they can get a marketing write-off. So we've done that too. So there's a million ways to do it. And our school's done a great – I give them credit. The administration of the school's done a great job of trying to – like we don't have – like you see it, the GM. There's no – we don't have a GM.
Yeah.
So Darren and Rachel and Dan and Kitts. It's like our administration, and they're stretched so thin like everybody else at UNC. They've done a great job of figuring out and navigating and doing this the right way and doing it the legal way. And so no one gets in trouble. But we, is there a tax write-off? Jenny Shoup, like, okay, can we do this so that the donor or can you get a tax? Is it a marketing? Hey, we've figured this thing out to where this, the rules are. We've figured it out pretty good. We just don't have millions of dollars, but the structure is there. So if people are interested, just email me, if nothing else, and we'll figure out what do you want to do. And if people want to give to the team or the round ball or what, great. They want to give to the rev share, great. They want it to be academic focused. Okay, we'll put in the Austin, great. We've been doing that, but now it's just getting more and more streamlined as we figure this thing out.
You guys are grinding, and I love getting into this stuff with you. It's learning
cool to
experience
talk about,
for
yeah.
me, for sure. But
for me too.
Yeah. Oh, I think every day there's something.
It's my livelihood. It's like, okay, what's the new rule? Okay.
How do we do this again?
Yeah.
Coach, great news on Egan Shields. Great news on Campbell Blogg. Yep. I'm excited to see what he can do for you guys next season. And then
we'll
hopefully
see more on him soon.
Hopefully the next 2 weeks we're talking about those four other slots filled in, and you can have a sigh of relief for a moment.
If we didn't have at least two of those done in the next 2 weeks, I would be alarmed, but we will. I mean, it might be all four, hopefully, so we'll see.
All right, man. Well, we'll look forward to it.
Yeah.
Appreciate
good,
you, Coach. Good
Thank
one today, my
okay.
friend.
Bye-bye.
The Two-Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!